ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Prabhuta Virut Trina Gulma Kavare Katora Dungsar Masakar Upadruta Kvachit Tu Gandharva Puram Prapasyati Kvachit Kvachit Chasu Rayomuka Graham Prabhuta Viru Trinagoma Gavare Katora Dangsar Masakar Upadruta Kvachit Tugandharva Param Prapasyati Kvachit Kvachit Chasu Rayomuka Graham Prabhuta Viru Trinagoma Gavare Katora Dhangsar Masakar Upadruta Kvachit Tugandharva Param Prapasyati Kvachit Kvachit Chasu Rayomuka Graham Prabhuta Viru Trinagoma Gavare Katora Dangsar Masakar Upadruta Kvachit Tugandharva Param Prapasyati Kvachit Kvachit Chasu Rayomuka Graham Prabhuta Viru Trinagoma Gavare Katora Dangsar Masakar Upadruta Kvachit Tugandharva Param Prapasyati Kvachit Kvachit Chasu Rayomuka Graham Prabhuta Viru Trinagoma Gavare Katora Dangsar Masakar Upadruta Kvachit Tugandharva Param Prapasyati Kvachit Kvachit Chasu Rayomuka Graham Prabhuta Viru Trinagoma Gavare Katora Dangsar Masakar Kvachit Tugandharva Param Prapasyati Prabhuta, a very large number. Virut, of creepers. Trina, of varieties of grass. Goma, of thickets. Gavare in bowers. Katora cruel. Dungsai by bites. Masakai by mosquitoes. Upajutaha disturbed. Kuchit sometimes. Tu but. Gandharva Param, a false palace created by the Gandharvas. Prapashyati, he sees. Kvachit, and sometimes. Kvachit, sometimes. Cha, and. Asuraya, very quickly. Ulmuka, like a meteor. Graham, a fiend. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. In this forest, there are dense bowers composed of thickets, of bushes, grass, and creepers. In these bowers, the conditioned soul is always disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes, envious people. Sometimes he sees an imaginary palace in the forest, and sometimes he is bewildered by seeing a fleeting fiend or ghost which appears like a meteor in the sky. Purport. The material household is actually a whole of fruitive activity. To earn a livelihood, one engages in different industries and trades, and sometimes one performs great sacrifices to go to higher planetary systems. Apart from this, at least everyone is engaged in earning a livelihood in some profession or occupation. In these dealings, one has to meet many undesirable people, and their behavior is compared to the biting of mosquitoes. This creates very undesirable conditions. Even in the midst of these disturbances, one imagines that he is going to construct a grand house and live there permanently, although he knows that he cannot. Gold is compared to a quickly fleeting fiend, which appears like a meteor in the sky. It displays itself for a moment and is then gone. Generally, karmis are attracted to gold or money, but these are compared herein to ghosts and witches. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuram Litam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukham Krotavachalam Pangun Manghayate Gurin Yat Kripa Parutaham Bande Sri Gurum Vinatarana Vancha Kapa Tvibhyastha Kripa Sundu Jevacha Paritanam Pavanevyo Vaishnamevyo Namonam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this verse is giving us some understanding of the uncomfortable material world that people are trying to enjoy in. Here it's mentioned that the living entities are disturbed by cruelly biting mosquitoes or envious people. There's a lot of very disturbed people in this material world due to being attached to this material nature, due to being attached to the material body. People become very envious. Envy means that if someone has something that I want, and therefore I'm envious of that person. Or someone may be very qualified to be in a position, but one criticizes the person, although he's qualified. Prabhupada gives the example of two people who had some animosity towards each other, in their school days. And then many years later, another person tells of one of them that, oh, you know that person you had so much animosity towards when you were younger? He's a judge now. He's a judge? He said, yeah, I just heard he's a judge. Yeah, he's probably a judge, but they're probably not paying him anything. Yeah. So this is envy. Someone may be very qualified, but he's envious of the person. He thinks he has no good qualification. And this can even happen with very exalted personalities. Srila Prabhupada, he was spreading our society all over the world, but his godbrothers were not given any support in any way. There were some, actually. But most of them didn't acknowledge all the amazing feats that he had performed in spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. Unfortunately. So the way to become free of envy is to serve that person whom we're envious of. And actually, in one sense, when one is envious of someone, it's actually envy of Krishna. Because any good quality that is found in anyone is actually coming from Krishna, ultimately. So indirectly, it's envy of Krishna. And this is the main reason that the living entities are in this material world, because of envy of Krishna. Krishna has a very exalted position, and most people, they want that position. They want to be in that exalted position. And therefore, the last snare of Maya, even though one is practicing Krishna consciousness throughout one's life, the last snare of Maya is that one thinks that he is Krishna. So it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult contamination to overcome. But it's possible. This process of Krishna consciousness is very powerful. And Krishna himself is very powerful. You know, this envy is actually, it's a manifestation of Maya, of illusion. So to overcome Maya is very difficult. It's the most difficult thing to overcome. But Krishna is more powerful than Maya. So if we take shelter of Krishna, then we could overcome this envy. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maitreya Rishi was explaining to Vidura how Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is compared to the moon. The moon reflects on the water on this planet. And the water, it's trembling. So this is also compared to the living entity, who, although is pure originally, comes in contact with the material nature and associates with the material nature. And therefore, he starts thinking that he is matter, that he is the material body. But we're actually the soul within. So, this quivering that goes on in the material world is due to association with the modes of material nature. Now, some people who are in the mode of goodness, the quivering is kind of slight, just a little quivering. Yeah. But then one in the mode of passion, it quivers more. Yeah, starts quivering more. And then in the mode of ignorance, so much quivering. Yeah. Because of association with this matter. But when we understand that we're the soul within, that we're part and parcel of Krishna, we're the eternal servants of Krishna, then calm water. No more quivering. So this is the goal. Well, we're completely calm. Shanti. Krishna bhakta nishkama ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanti. Krishna bhakta nishkama, that devotees of the Lord, they are always peaceful. Why? no material desires, no quivering. But bhukti, mukti, siddhikami, people who have material desires, who are desiring liberation, have so many desires, therefore they're always quivering. There's always the unpeacefulness. They're always in some anxiety. And therefore this material world, it's called kunta. So much anxiety. The spiritual world is called Vaikuntha. Now some people, they think that, well, I'll just be a good person. I'll stop all this quivering on my own, without God. I'll just be a good person. And if there's a God, then He'll give me the good result. Karma Mimamsa philosophy. Right? And this is a very, very common illusion in the material world. Just be a good person. Just be a moral person and everything will be good. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. The golden rule. Right? So this is very common in the material world. But actually, it's not possible to be moral or to be good if one is not God conscious. And the reason is because one may be inclined toward the mode of goodness, but there's two other modes of nature that the living entity gets contaminated by. And in Bhagavad Gita, it's explained that they're kind of battling with each other. The mode of goodness sometimes overcomes the mode of passion. The mode of passion overcomes the mode of ignorance. So this is going on with the living entity as long as one is not God conscious. But if one isn't Krishna conscious, then it's not possible. One has to be in these lower modes of nature at various times. Mangchayo vyabhicharya bhakti yogena sevate. So this is the nature of the living entity, is to be pure. But because of this contact with the material nature, therefore we have to become bewildered by these modes of nature. And it's foreign. It's actually foreign for the living entity to be in this situation. We're visitors here in this material world. And the goal of life is to become completely free of these modes of nature and to take shelter of Krishna. This is the pure, this is the ultimate desire of the living entity. But if we maintain our material desires, then we have to stay. Yashyatmabhuti kunupetu dhatuke swadiliti. What is this? That when people identify with this material body, or they become attached to the place of their birth or material sense gratification, then this actually ruins their true existence as the eternal servant of Krishna. Yeah. We remain unpeaceful as long as we're in this illusion. You know. Or this another, actually the verse I was thinking of was this, yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati kinchina sarvarganaschata sumasa tesara harava bhaktasya gato mahadguna monovetan asati dhavato bihi. That the yasyama buddhi yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati kinchina, that when one takes to Krishna consciousness, he gives up his attraction to this material sense gratification, which is actually what the quivering is this material sense gratification. Yeah. So this is only possible when one becomes a bhakta. For one who is an abhakta, kuta, where is his good qualities? Kuta is a question. Where is the good qualities of a person who was not a devotee of Krishna? Yeah. Because he's hovering on the mental platform. Therefore, it's not possible for such a person to be moral or to be pure. But anybody who is a pure servant of Krishna He's pure. Now sometimes people, they criticize that, oh, you say if someone is pure, then they're moral. But Krishna himself, how is he pure? He told Yudhisthira to lie. Yudhisthira was the embodiment of the mode of goodness. He was famous as someone who never told a lie. But here God is telling Yudhisthira to lie. So how is someone who's following this God moral if he himself is immoral? But actually Krishna, he's absolute. And whatever he does or says is moral. It's pure. Because he's absolutely pure. And anybody who follows, who does as Krishna wants, is also pure. Because Krishna, he's God. He doesn't have to be in a box that we think God should be in. No. He's completely transcendental. And the reason Krishna asked Yudhisthira to lie was for a moral reason. Because Krishna, he was representing the Yadavas who were representing the purity. He wanted the Yadus to lead society. The Kauravas were causing havoc in society. They tried to kill the pure Pandavas. So they were atrocious, horrible personalities. He didn't want Duryodhana to be the king. He wanted Yudhisthira to be the king. So the reason Krishna told him to lie was so that the Yadavas could win the battle. And the way the battle was going at that point was that Dronacharya, he was fighting in such a courageous way that he was just going to destroy the whole army. He was so powerful. And Krishna knew that the only way that he would be stopped would be when he hears the words, Ashwatthama is dead. So he told Yudhisthira, you go to Dronacharya and you tell him, Ashwatthama is dead. But Yudhisthira, although he was so much in the mode of goodness, so pure, he hesitated in following the instructions of Krishna. And because of that, he had to see hell. Although he was so pure, he was so moral, because he disobeyed the order of Krishna, who was absolute morality personified. And it's even described that his chariot up to that time wasn't touching the ground, but as soon as he hesitated, it crashed to the ground. So Krishna is the supreme moral personality. Another criticism is that Krishna, he would dance with the gopis in the dead of night. And these gopis, many of them were wives of husbands. They had their husbands. But they would go and they would dance with Krishna. So how is this moral? Actually, all living entities in the creation, material world, the spiritual world, everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So everyone is a servant of Krishna. All living entities, all women, all men are servants of Krishna. So it wasn't immoral for Krishna to invite his parts and parcels to dance in the dead of night in Vrindavan. It's completely moral. But if someone marries and tries to enjoy his wife, this is actually immoral. Because everything is meant to be for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. So these people are actually immoral. Whoever tries to enjoy anything in the material world, actually, for their own sense gratification, this is immoral. Bhoktaram, yagatapasam, sarva loka maheshram, Suradam Sarvabhutanam Gyatramam Shantim Ruchati. So Krishna, he is the bhokta. He is the enjoyer of all activities. So therefore, whatever we're doing, we're trying to do it for the pleasure of Krishna. And when we act in this way, just for the pleasure of Krishna, then Krishna is very pleased. Just like so many people like to dance. It's a very common thing. People like to dance. But if people are dancing in the discotheque, then this is actually binding them more to the material world, conditioning them more to the material body, to this material nature. But if we dance for Krishna, then we become liberated. If we dance for the pleasure of Krishna, we become liberated. I remember when I first joined in Miami back in 78, I was in the temple room in Miami, and I was in the front. And one devotee came up to me from behind. He said, Vijay, if you're not dancing and you're in the front, this is not good. The people in the front, they should be dancing to inspire the people in the back. I thought, okay, that's cool. So I started dancing. That was interesting. So we should dance for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. And whatever we're doing, yat kroshi, yat asnasi, yat jahosi didasya, yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurusha marakanam. That all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that's performed, should be done as an offering to me. This is a very powerful statement by Krishna. All that you do, everything that you do, should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. Yeah. So there's so many things that we're doing. And if we're also thinking of doing this for the pleasure of Krishna, Krishna is so pleased. And if we're thinking in this way, then so many other things are happening. Krishna, he says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Yeah. So we have to somehow become absorbed in this. All that you do, all that you offer, there's so many offerings that are being made for the pleasure of Krishna. Just like we offer so many foodstuffs for the pleasure of Krishna. And Krishna's pleased by this, by these offerings. We have to eat. And even when we go to sleep, we should be thinking, I'm resting my body so that I could rise the next day and do service for Krishna. So everything should be done as an offering to Krishna. We're distributing so many books. Now this is the Prabhupada Marathon, in which we want to distribute a lot of books for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada, for the pleasure of Krishna. And if we do this, then so much mercy will come. We have World Enlightenment Day. Another very big opportunity to please Krishna. And Krishna, he says that there's no one more dear to me than that person who is distributing this information. No one is more dear to me than that person. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized it so much. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, tomorrow is his disappearance day. He emphasized it so much. He said, if one has life, then one will preach Krishna consciousness. So, on the other side, if one doesn't preach, then there's no life. He says, if one has life, then one will preach Krishna consciousness. And this is actually, this preaching, this book distribution, is actually what brings us alive also in Krishna consciousness. Yeah. There's that statement that if you want to enjoy material life, then don't go and to the bank of the Yamuna and hear Krishna playing the flute. Because if you do, then you'll give up all your attraction to material life. Similarly, if you want to enjoy material life, don't go on book distribution. Because you're going to get a higher taste. Book distribution is so ecstatic. So many wonderful experiences are there in book distribution. Because people, they're searching. There's a thirst throughout society. And what is that thirst? Not so much for water, although in some places it's there. But it's a thirst for the spiritual atmosphere. This is what they're looking for. People are looking for pleasure. But it's not to be found in the material nature. Therefore, there's so much frustration. The main disease in America right now is stress. Especially now that they've had this financial crisis. People are so stressed out. Therefore, when I distribute books now, because I see so many people stressed out, I tell them that this book teaches the art of inner happiness, higher consciousness, inner peace, and freedom of stress. A lot of people are taking it now, but I'm adding that on. So people are so stressed out because the bodily conception of life. You know, they're quivering so much due to this misidentification in the material body. But these books will help them understand who they really are. They're eternal servants of Krishna. They're the soul within the body. And they're part of Krishna. And this relationship, this service attitude towards Krishna, this will give pleasure to the soul. This will bring calmness, peacefulness to their life. So we should utilize whatever energy we have in distributing Srila Prabhupada's books for his pleasure, and certainly we'll receive his mercy. So maybe I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes, Nam Saint Nam Kirtan Prabhu. It's very auspicious now we have Jayapataka Swami here. He'll be here for how long? Any idea? Huh? A couple months?
Thank you. Thank you, Vijay.
When you're
speaking about the morality and lying specifically, if we're given a situation to where depending on what we say to a person that we're preaching Krishna consciousness to, if it's a choice between them taking the Krishna consciousness or not taking the Krishna consciousness, is it okay to tell a white lie?
Wow. Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains anudvegam kurang vakyam satyam priyam hitangchiyat svabhyabhyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchate. That there's different types of austerity of speech. Anudvegam means don't speak that which is agitating to others. Anudvegam kurang vakyam satyam. Satyam means truth. We should always speak the truth. Priyam, speak that which is pleasing. Hitang chayat means speaking that which is beneficial. And then svabhyabhyasanam chaiva means speaking that which is within the Vedic literatures. So this is an interesting question. Because if you speak that which is pleasing, you're saying that you speak something which is pleasing, which may bring them to Krishna consciousness, but may not be the truth, right? But it may be beneficial because they may take to Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada, he always preached that the truth can be spoken in a palatable way by which people can be attracted. So the truth is what should always be most prominent. You know, if we say that, well, let's stretch the truth a little bit, let's tell a little white lie, then where do you stop? Better to just speak the truth in a palatable way by which people can appreciate. It's very important, I think, that we be honest. And this is the nature of a Brahmana, is that they're honest. And throughout our society, Krishna consciousness has been spread and people are taken to Krishna consciousness and the truth is being spoken. We don't need to There's so many wonderful truths within our society, within our philosophy. So we don't need to use this these lies to try to bring people to Krishna consciousness. Satya Tanoy Prabhu has a question.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, just to substantiate what you mentioned, mm-hmm. Prabhupada says also that a truthful person like a brahmana, even if a thieves come to steal your money, if you're really truthful, you say, yes, here is the money.
You should tell him. He said, you should tell them. If a thief comes and asks you, how much money do you have? You should tell him how much money you have. And Prabhupada said, I was shocked when I heard that.
There is another aspect too, uh-huh. that for the highest truth, you can lie. If somebody is going to be killed, for example, but to say that soul, you can lie. Mm. The white lion is there.
Yes, there's even a story in the Vedas of one murderer who was chasing somebody. And this person who was running from the murder went by one sage who was meditating. And he swiftly ran by the sage and went into the forest behind him. And then the murderer came and he saw the sage. And he said, hey, did you see somebody run by here? He said, yeah, he went that way. And it's described that he had to get a reaction for that. Although he spoke the truth, he had to get a reaction for that because it was outside of time and circumstance. He should have lied to benefit the person whom this murder was after. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point.
I was just thinking also about the art of preaching. The art of preaching. Prabhupada mentioned one time that in one occasion some devotees were complaining that Prabhupada, these people in India, these Hindus, these Indians, they're just tricking us. We've been tricked, Prabhupada, like in a joking way, he says, I'm Indian too. I trick you. All of you were tricked. Like that.
But Prabhupada tricked them, but he tricked them with his devotion, yeah? With his prasadam, you know, with the pure prasadam and the pure philosophy. He brought them away from the material nature by his purity. That's a little bit of a play on words. Omkar Papu.
Just as an example of practical example, following up with what you said in reply to Nam Kirtan, I've heard stories of different, you know, Christian groups down in India. And, you know, because one of the first things they do when they enter places, they set up a hospital. And so I've heard stories of where they won't administer the people the proper medicine unless they accept Jesus. They'll administer something else. And so then once the people finally break down and say, well, I accept Jesus, you know, and so then they give the real medicine and then they get better. And then they proclaim, oh, just see, you know, the glory of Jesus. You know, so this is tricking. You know, this isn't exactly truthful, even though it is bringing people to become a Christian. But it's not on the highest level, you know, and so it's more, it's just sentiment. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So there isn't very much benefit in obscuring the truth.
Yeah, it's a cheap way to go about.
Yeah, it's not a popularity contest.
Another thing is Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned to the Sankirtan devotees that you have to be honest in your dealings. And he, because he heard that there was some trickery going on. So Prabhupada, he said that a devotee is known as one who is perfectly honest. Yeah, a gentleman. So a gentleman is honest. So we should always try to emulate this honesty. We don't need to use tricks. We have so much wonderful wisdom within our books. We can just present them in an honest way. Yeah. Amala Bhakta Prabhu. One second. The microphone is coming.
Just a brief question. Did I hear you correctly when you said that one of the reasons that Krishna wanted Yudhishthir to lie with respect to telling Dronacharya that Ashwatthama is dead was so that ultimately the Yadavas could win the battle. Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Yadavas were fighting on Duryodhana's side.
Well,
he wanted the Pandavas to win, and all those who joined the Pandavas. But the Yadavas, in an agreement that had been made when Duryodhana and Arjuna approached Krishna when he was lying on his bed, there was a question. I won't go into the whole thing, except that the result was, is that Krishna said, I can allow one of you to have me on your chariot, and the other one will have my army, the Yadavas. Mm-hmm. So which would you like? So he allowed Arjuna to be the first chooser. So he said, I would prefer you.
Oh.
And so Duryodhana got the Yadavas. So the Yadavas were fighting on the bad guy side.
Well, that's a good question. So the Yadavas were on Duryodhana's side. So I'm going to ask you now, because you know.
What's that?
I'm going to ask you now, because his whole army, well, I guess that's Krishna's army. So who was the army that was fighting with the Pandavas?
Oh, all those who were on the allies.
Oh, so those are the ones that Arjuna went and he got together and. Oh, okay.
He had his group. Oh. Similarly, Duryodhana had his group.
Right.
The Yadavas normally would never fight for Duryodhana, but it was an agreement.
Right.
At that time, when they both came to secure him as to secure the army. Actually, Duryodhana came to get the army of Krishna.
Right.
And so did Arjuna. But when Krishna made that offer, one can have me, the other can have my army, Arjuna knew that Krishna was more powerful than his entire army and better to have him.
Little technicality. You've got to be careful when you talk about the Mahabharata with Anamata Bhakti here, yeah? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.